All right, Jabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Incredible daf ahead of us today. Very exciting stuff. We are picking, not stuff, very exciting, beautiful Torah. Today's daf is Saturday, K95. We are picking up at the top of 95. Literally the first word. Jabbos, our shir this morning, our shiurim this month, are dedicated by Sammy and Malka Esterson in commemoration of the yahrzeits of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchok Leib, and Aaron HaKohen, and Hinda Esterson, Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim, Zichron Levracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, their neshamas will have an aliyah and a family, a nechama. Let's begin. So hopefully you saw the pictures I put out on the WhatsApp group last night. A thank you to Gil Horowitz for sharing them with me. He was at that bakery. I sent you the link to that bakery. So very interesting. Although I got a number of comments back that seemed to be a little bit disappointed in those pictures. I guess people were hoping for something prettier. So I'm sure they were prettier in the Beis HaMikdash. I think that's just kind of like a wonderful. Remember again, there are also more specialized molds. We're going to discuss more specialized baking processes. But at least it gives you an idea as to what we're looking at. So we'll say, let's begin. Meisve says the Gemara. Meisve, kamin kaveres hayla betanis. So let's remember again, where we're focused over here is the fundamental machlokes Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan about what the lechem hapanim looked like. Rabbi Chanina telling us kamin teva prutza, like the open box. Rabbi Yochanan telling us kamin sinar okedes, like a fast moving ship. So we'll say again. So again, the open box is the U. The fast-moving ship could either be Rashi. You know, we were having this discussion yesterday after the shir. Rashi brings down this picture like the V. Although, again, if you look in the pictures I sent you, and also it appears even from Rashi, from the wording of Rashi himself, doesn't necessarily have to be a V, but rather it means more like a rounded bottom that comes to a point. Either way, again, we could just go with the images of Rashi over here, the U versus the V. So Meisve, the Gemara is a kasha. Kamin kaveres hayla betanur. We'll say there was like a type of basket inside the oven in which they baked the lechem upanim. V'dome kamin tavla mirubas. And we'll say it was like a square basket. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, upia dome kamin. So we'll say, so again, what do you see from here? This would seem to support the view of Rabbi Chanina, that in fact the loaves were like an open basket, and would be a contradiction against Rabbi Yochanan, to which the Gemara says not necessarily. Ema upiha dome kemin tabla merubas. So we'll say it is possible that maybe the opening of the basket was squared, but maybe the bottom of the basket was actually pointed. Okay, so no raya either way. Tanya kaman domar kemin sinar okay. This was, we have a brisa that supports the opinion who says that the bread was shaped like a fast moving ship. Disanyo. Arba'as nifin shalzav hayusham mifutzalan meirosheihem kimin dakronin hayu shesomchin bahenes alechem. Shabbos, so we're going to see this actually a little bit later on about how the actual shulchan. We began to discuss this a little bit yesterday with the sinifin, the side supports, as well as the rods which rested in between each loaf of bread. So here this price is describing this. Kamin arba sinifin shazad. There are four supports made of gold. Mifutzal meroshein kamin dakranin. Sham hayu shesomchin bahenes halechem. These rods and these side supports would support the bread. Shudome kamin svina rokedes. And I will say, what was the bread like? The bread was like a fast moving ship. Okay, see here you have a brisa that does support the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that the lechem upon him was shaped with a, we'll call it like the V. So again, this machlokes still stands. We'll discuss the resolution of it shortly. Ibailu. Lechem upon him, we'll say, is actually fascinating. Lechem upon him nifsal b'maso'o, so ino nifsal b'maso'o. So we'll listen to this. Does a lechem upon him become puzzle when the Mishkan would travel or not? And we'll say, now look at Rashi. Good. We're back, by the way, again, like I said yesterday, to one parish of Rashi. So this is Rashi. Take a look at the last wide line on top. Nifsal b'masos. Listen to this case. Kishenosim Yisrael b'midbar. When Klal Yisrael would travel in the desert. Umefarkim ha-mishkan. And they would go out and disassemble the Mishkan. V'nosim ha-shulchan im ha-lechem. And they would transport the shulchan with the lechem. Kedichse v'ashulchan upon him yifusu begetchiles. Minifsal lechem b'yotel. This is actually fascinating. Let's take a regular case. The Mishkan is standing. I go ahead, I grab a loaf of lechem upon him bread, and I take it outside of the Mishkan. Say, what's ta'alocha? What's talocha? It's pasul. Why? It's what we call yotze. And again, this is not a chiddush. We've seen this many times before. Anytime you take something of a sacrificial nature and remove it outside of its permitted consumption boundaries, so the halach is it becomes possible. Halach ha-paras to be eaten inside the base of Mikdash. If you take it out, ultimately, again, it becomes possible. Here's the interesting question. What happens when the base, when the Mishkan is disassembled and is on the move? When it's on the move, does the bread become possible as quote-unquote being yotzei or not? Good question, no? Yeah. Okay, so it says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Chad amar nifsal, the chad amar ino nifsal. Machlokas. Okay, one says yes, one says no. Fantastic. Anyone will say, now watch this. Mandor amar nifsal. So the one who says that when the shulchan moves, so the bread becomes pasul. Dichsiv, kasher yachanu, kein yisol. Because we will say the pasuk says, literally again, the way that they camp, that'll be the way that they travel, which means what? We'll say just as when the Mishkan is at rest, right? When it's at camp, so when it was at rest, ultimately the bread becomes pasul with yotzei. So too, ultimately again, when it travels, it also becomes pasul with yotzei. Good. Man damar eino nifso. Rabbi say the one who says that the lechem aparam does not become pasul ultimately when the Mishkan travels, what will he say? Dichsiv velechem hatamid alav yihia. Rabbi say he dashes the pasuk that lechem hatamid alav yihia, the lechem will constantly be on the shulchan. Rashi says lechem hatamid alav yihia alma bikdushase koi. Rabbi say that opinion says that the pasuk that says that the lechem will be continuously on the shulchan teaches me that the lechem constantly and consistently retains its identity, even if the shulchan is being moved. Even if the shulchan is being moved, the lechem retains its identity. Okay, and therefore again does not become possible with yotzei. Fine. So what it says the Gemara, the idach nami. So we'll say now what we're going to do is now that we've stated the machlokes, we're going to ask what each opinion does with the other's pasuk. The idach nami haksiv kasher yachnu ken yisol. So we'll say what does the second opinion who holds that the lechem is not possible yotze. What does he do with the pasuk of kasher yachnu ken yisol? Leidach kisa, he dashes it in the opposite direction. Ma bechani yaso kilo yatzamim komolo mifsol. But I'll say just like ultimately when the Mishkan is at rest, as long as the bread does not leave its place, it does not become possible. Af binisiyaso, so too again when the Mishkan is moved, kilo yatzamim komo, as long as the bread does not leave its place. So it's actually very interesting, which means what? As long as when they're traveling, the bread remains where? On the shulchan, on the rack, on the shulchan. Lo mifsal. Ultimately, again, the lechem does not become pasul. I, the idach nami haksiv lechem atamer alav yihya. We'll say, what does the first opinion, who says that when the Mishkan travels, the lechem does become pasul biyotze, what does he do with the pasuk for lechem atamer alav yihya? Ela, ki asar avdimi yamar. So we'll say, so rather, avdimi comes along and he says, no, you have this whole machlokes wrong. Here we go. Bimesudar, dikuli amalo pligi. Rosh is actually amazing. Everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa, as long as the lechem is still arranged on the shulchan, then even if the shulchan moves, the lechem is not pasul biyotze. And the logic behind that is, because where does the lechem belong? On the shulchan. So as long as it's on the shulchan, you're good to go. You're good to go. There's no psul of yotze. So we'll say, where do they argue? Bimesulak. We'll say what they argue in is in the following case. What happens if halacha lemaisa, it's time to travel, and they take the loaves off the shulchan in order to travel? Rashi says, bimesulak, shadayin lo yigiyaz man lasalik ezeh, achinasul, mikomoko mesocha machana aleviyim, hushanosin osun iman, ima meshkan. So we'll say, so the interesting question over here is as follows. Let's say, so again, according to Rav Dimi, everyone will agree that halacha lemaisa, what? If you go ahead and you leave the loaves on the shulchan, and you just transport the shulchan like that, everyone agrees that what? That the bread is fine. The shaila is what happens if you're traveling now, I take the loaves off the shulchan. Now Rashi actually points out over here, but the loaves will still travel with the shulchan. With the shulchan or with the mishkan. So the loaves aren't being taken out of what we call machane shechina or machane leviyah. They're still going to be in the machane, but they're off the shulchan. So do they become nifsal biyotze or not? See, we'll say, you understand the complexity of this shaila? they're still technically within the confines of the Mishkan because they're traveling with the Mishkan. Their problem is what? Exactly. It's on the move, right? It's on the move. It's not in the same place. So what's the impact on the bread? So the Gemara says, Man damar nifsal. So the one opinion who says that once you take the bread off the racks and the Mishkan moves, so the bread becomes pasul biyotze, d'chsev kashar yachanu ken yiso. We'll say he will dash in the pasuk that says the same way you camp is the way you will travel. Ma b'chani yoso nifsal biyotze. Just like you're when the Mishkan is at rest, so the breads can become pasul with yotze. Af b'nis yoso nifsal biyotze. So too, ultimately, again, when they traveled, you would also become nifsal biyotze. L'man d'amar eino nifsal, according to the opinion who says that the bread does not become pasul, d'chsiv, v'nosa oel moed, he will say ultimately again the oel moed will travel. Afapi shenosa oel moedu. So this is actually very interesting. So the second opinion will say that the fact that the pasuk says v'nosa oel moed teaches me that even when it's on the move, the Mishkan still has the status of the Oel Moed. Which means, I both say, that as long as the loaves are traveling in the same area as the rest of the Mishkan, it's still considered to be as if they're in the Mishkan, and ultimately, again, no psul of Yotze. Incredible machlokas. As we'll say, the second opinion who holds that even if the loaves are not on the shulchan when the Mishkan moves, so ultimately again that the loaves will not be possible with Yotze. What does he do with the pasuk of Kashar Yachanu Ken Yiso? Lidach Gisa, he darshens it the opposite way, and he will say Ma b'chani yoso kilo mapikle lo mifso. We'll say just like when the Mishkan is at rest, so if you don't take it out of the Mishkan, ultimately again the loaves don't become pasul. Af b'nis yoso, so too when the Mishkan travels, kilo mapikle, as long as you did not take the loaves out from the area of the Mishkan, even though now the Mishkan is disassembled, ultimately again lo mifso will not become pasul. V'idach, and v'idach nami haksiv v'nasa amod. So we'll say the opinion who holds that once you take the loaves off the shulchan, and now the Mishkan travels, that the loaves become pasul with Yotze. What does he do with the pasuk of Venasa o Amoed? To which the Gemara says, Ha'hu l'digalim hu da'asa. That pasuk Rabbah says is coming to teach us something different about the digalim. Look at Rashi. What does that mean, l'digalim? L'horos eiza degel yisa rishon. Ve'ize emtsoi, ve'ize acharon. So we'll say the phrase of v'nasa or amoid, the first opinion will hold, means that what is teaching us how the Mishkan or how the camp of Klal Yisrael is supposed to travel. That's not a din ultimately teaching us about sacrificial items, but rather it's a din teaching us how the camp traveled. V'idach mimachana halaviyim besocha machanos nafka. Mostly the other opinion will learn that we learn out the placement of the Mishkan ultimately, again, in the traveling camp of Klal Yisrael, from the pasuk mimachane halaviim b'soch hamachanos. Good, Macy. So we'll say. So we are still left with this kasha. Now, remember again, the version we're operating off of over here is the Rav Dimi version, and in the Rav Dimi version, we'll say. So what do we have? If the bread remains on the shulchan as the Mishkan travels, in the Rav Dimi version, everyone agrees that what? That it's fine. It is not nifsal biyotze. Where does the machlokes come up? Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yochanan? The machlokes comes up is if you take the loaves off the shulchan and you travel like that. So one opinion says, once it comes off the shulchan and you travel, that's nifsal biyotze. Second opinion will say that since the Mishkan retains its identity as a Mishkan, even when it's traveling, assuming the loaves are traveling with the rest of the Mishkan, ultimately the loaves do not become pasul with Yotze. So fundamental machlokes. So the Gemara says this also. Meisvei, Gemara is a kasha. Bishas siluk masos. So we'll say at the time when the Mishkan ultimately, again, would move. Rashi says over here, siluk masos, sha paroches niglalos. So we'll say this would be when the curtains of the Mishkan are rolled up, and now it's time to mobilize. When the Mishkan is mobilized, Klal Yisrael mobilizes, kachim nifsalin biyotze. So ultimately, again, korban of sacrificial items become invalidated with the psul of Yotze. And I'm about to say, look at Rashi again for just a moment. Kachim nifsalin biyotze, she'in lehem kilayim. Va'af al pikein hamachan akadosh, v'zavin v'zavos mishtalchin chutz memechitzasan. Mitzora chutz, I'm just going to read this Rashi that we'll see in the Gemara. Mitzora chutz lemachan Yisrael, v'ayu mahalchin b'sof machras. We'll listen to this. So when the Mishkan would travel, the moment that they went ahead and they rolled up the curtains, right, the surrounding curtains of the Mishkan, so any leftover sacrificial meat, any sacrificial, would become pasul. Why did I both say? Because for most sacrifices, not for everything, but for most karbanos had to be consumed inside of the kilayim, inside the curtains. Once the curtains are gone, essentially the sacrificial items become aser, or become pasul, alts yotze. They're considered as if they have left their particular area. Yet, interestingly enough, back to the Gemara, so may say, b'shas siluk masos, kachim nifsalin, biyotze, v'zovin u'mitzoroin, mishtalchin chutz l'michitzasan. Now, Bosse, now what's interesting about this is, but even though now the curtains are down, nevertheless, zovin and mitzoroin were not permitted to be in that area. So let's remember again, a zov, a mitzora, have limitations in terms of which camps they're permitted to enter into. Even when the curtains of the Mishkan are down, apparently, again, the area where the Mishkan is still retains its sanctity. So on one hand, it retains its sanctity, yet sacrificial items become possible because of Yotze once the curtains are gone. Now, both say, now remember, we don't really care so much about Zavon and Mitzvah. What we care about much more is the fact that once the curtains come down, then what? Then ultimately, sacrificial items are going to be pasul alts yotze. So the Gemara says, "My love, afilu belechem haponim." Don't we say that ultimately, again, lechem haponim is going to become pasul as well? So we'll say. So in other words, when we say that once the curtains come down, that kachim become pasul, does this not also include lechem haponim? Which sounds like what we'll say. As soon as the Mishkan is traveling or ready for travel, the lechem haponim is considered as if it's been yotze, and therefore it becomes pasul. Lo, bar mi lechem haponim. So Gemara says, no, it means sacrificial items with the exception of lechem haponim. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, manav shach, I ohel moed dafkuhu. So I say, ultimately again, if you say that it's called the ohel moed, all the time, in other words, even when it's traveling, in other words, adai nikra ohel moed, afilu beis hamasos, like Rashi says, if you hold that it's called Oel Moed, Rabbi Yosef, look at Rashi, Afagav duhuglu aparoches kediktani, see, if you hold that it's always called Oel Moed, even when it's traveling, then afilu kachin nami, then ultimately, again, even other sacrificial items should still be kosher, even once you roll up the curtains. E Oel Moed lav dafkohu, and Rabbi Yosef, if you hold that it's only called Oel Moed, when it's set up, but once you go ahead and you begin to deconstruct it, it's no longer Oel Moed, then what? Afilu lechem aparim nami. The Rebbe says even lechem aparim should be pasul as well. Eliki aser ravin amar b'mesudar umar savra b'mesulak v'lo pligi. So we'll say ultimately says the Gemara, you're right. What they're really talking about is two different cases. We'll say take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Eliki aser ravin amar oel moed lav dafka dila degalim hu da'asa umar demachshir b'mesudar dichsiv lechem tam dalav yiyeh. Umar de pasul b'mesulak. Both say they're referring to two different cases. When do we say ultimately, though, if the Mishkan moves, the lechem aponim is still going to be kasher? That's when the bread is on the shulchan. And when will we say that the lechem aponim becomes pasul? That's when the bread is taken off the shulchan. So both say where the Gemara is kind of ending up around this discussion over here is that halacha lemaisa, as long as the bread remains on the shulchan during the time that the Mishkan traveled, the Lechem Haponim will remain kosher. If for some reason it's removed, then Halach Lamaise becomes Pasul Alts Yotze. Amr Abayi Shmamino, Yesh Siluk Masaos Balayla. So we'll say, so Abayi says, just as an aside, it would appear based on this discussion that the Mishkan would sometimes travel at night. Look at Rashi. Shmamina midiktani kachim nifsalam mishum psul yotze. Rabbi say from the fact that the Braisa said before that halacha lemais when you take down the curtains, so the kachim become aser alt yotze, that teaches us that you could travel, the Mishkan could travel at night. Rashi says, Yesh siluk masos balayla, shim haya na'ala ha'anan balayla, hayunosim yad. If the cloud in front of the machane would lift up and move at night, they would travel immediately. For the hayu mamtinin at haboker, and ultimately again they would not wait until the morning. Where do we see that from? Di sakadayt chayin silok masos balayla, because they will say if you hold that the camp does not move at night, Emas midli letzafra. Then Abba say what that would mean is even if they got the signal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have to break camp and move, they wouldn't move until the next morning. Now, my area mishum yosei, if that's the case, then presumably they would begin to go ahead and break down the Mishkan at night. So ultimately, again, the curtains would be taken down at night. In which case, again, Abosai, there would be another additional issue with sacrificial items, which would be an issue of lina, of leaving them overnight. Yet the Brisa doesn't make any mention of lina. The Brisa only makes mention, ultimately, again, of yotzei, to which the Gemara Yerim Shum Tevalim if Salei Belina. So Pshit. So Abosai, therefore, again, you see that the Mishkan went ahead and traveled even at night. To which the Gemara says, okay, Pshita. It's obvious that the Mishkan traveled at night. La'leches yomam v'laylaksiv. Abosai, the pasuk says that ultimately, again, this is referring to the Anon, right? V'Hashem aleich lifneim yomam ba'amud ha'anon v'anchosam baderech v'layla ba'amud ish la'hir lahem la'leches yomam v'layla, which tells us that the camp can travel both by day and by night. So what's your chiddush? To which the Gemara says, ma'u detei ma'ani mili'heichad akar b'yimama. I might have thought maybe when does the camp travel at night? Maybe that's only when they start traveling by day. But maybe at night, ultimately again, but maybe if they did not start traveling by day, we don't start traveling by night, rather wait until the next morning. That is not the case, that the camp could travel by night as well. Or minhi, so we'll say the Gemara is another kasha. Huglalu haparoches, huchra zavan mitzrani kaneshan. So we'll say this is actually very interesting. This price says that once the curtains have been folded up, so the area no longer has kedusha as machane shchina, and therefore what? The Zavin and Mitzorayim can even enter this space. Now, Bosai, this contradicts what we just said before, because the Braisa just above said that what? Even once the curtains are rolled up, Zavin and Mitzorayim cannot come in this area. Ravashi lo kasha, Ravashi said it's not a contradiction. Ha Rabbi Eliezer, ha Rabban. And Bosai say two different opinions. What are the two different opinions? Disanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer. Bosai is actually very interesting. Rabbi Eliezer says as follows. Yochol dochku Zavin u Mitzorayim. Listen to this fascinating case. So say you have the following situation. Klal Yisrael, 51% of Klal Yisrael is Tameh. What happens when 51% of Klal Yisrael is Tameh? Tumah Hutra Betzibor. So the laws of Tumah are suspended for any communal purposes. And let's say, Rabbi said this all happened by Pesach time. The halacha is we would offer up Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah. Okay, so that's the picture that's being painted over here. So Klal Yisrael is Tameh, 51% of Klal Yisrael is Tameh. We're offering up the Karban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash, or for that matter, again, in the Mishkan, it doesn't matter where. And what happens? There's a bunch of guys, Zavin and Mitzorayin, who are walking around, and what happens? They get pushed inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So I might have thought that they should be chayiv ultimately again for entering into the Beis HaMikdash, Zavin HaMitzorayim, v'nichnesu la'azara b'Pesach. So we'll say, the Zavin HaMitzorayim, ultimately again, who made their way into the Beis HaMikdash, when Klal Yisrael was offering up the Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah, I might have thought that they should be chayiv kares, ultimately for entering, because I will say that is the penalty, for a Zav and a Mitzorah entering into the Azar, into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk says, Vayishalchu min ha-machaneh kol tzarua v'chol zav v'chol tamei l'nefesh. Therefore the Pasuk says, you shall send out from the camp any person who has saras, any person who has a Zav, and anyone who is tamei l'nefesh. We'll say tamei l'nefesh means what? Ritually impure through contact with a corpse. B'sha'ah shetmei meisim mishtalchin. At a time when people who are Tameh Meis are sent out of the camp, Zavin and Mitzrayim Mishtalchin. So Zavin and Mitzrayim are also sent out. Ain Tameh Meis Mishtalchin. Rabbi said, if there's a situation where someone who's Tameh Meis is not sent out of the camp, then what? Ain Zavin or Mitzrayim Mishtalchin. Then ultimately, again, the Zavin and Mitzrayim are not sent out as well. So if you say Tuma Hutra Bitsibor, and therefore you allow the carbon to be offered up by those who are Tameh Meisim, there is no longer a Tuma exclusion for Zavin and Mitzorayin as well. So both say, so closing out this sugya, working backwards a little bit, it would appear that the version we left off with, at least Legabe, the Mishkan, is the version of Rav Dimi. That halacha lemaisa, the Mishkan retains some semblance of Mishkan identity even when it's on the move. The lechem hapanim, as long as it remains on the shulchan while the Mishkan is being transported, does not have does not have any kind of psul of yotze. It is considered as if it's in the Mishkan proper, and all is good. If you take it off the Shulchan, and then the Mishkan travels, the loaves will become aser alts the psul, or will become pasul alts yotze. Now we'll say, what about the machlokes, Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Yochanan, about the shape of the lechem aponim? That was the major machlokes that we spent our time on. Is it kamin teva prutz, is like an open box? Or is it kamin svinro kedis? Or is it like the fast moving ship? Is it a U or is it a V? So we'll say, so the Rambam paskins, and he says as follows. This is in Hilchos Tamidin and Musafin Parake Alocha Tes. Kochala mehen mirubas. Shene emar lechem aponim shilo aponim rabim. So we'll say, so the halacha ultimately is, said the Rambam Paskins, like Rabbi Yochanan, or excuse me, like Rabbi Chanina, that the lechem haponim was an open box. Not like Rabbi Yochanan, it was not kamin svin or akeres, but rather, again, it was like the U. Now we'll say, interestingly enough, we're not going to get into it now, the Rambam actually gives all of the measurements for the loaves as well. Orach kol chal min asar tfachim, we'll say, this is actually very interesting. The length of the challah was 10 tfachim, the rachba chamisha tfachim, it had a width of 5 tfachim, the ruma sheva esbos, and had a height of 7 finger breaths. So I say, this is actually really amazing. So it's a big loaf. So 10 tfachim long, 5 tfachim wide, 7 tfachim high. So I say, so again, shulchan, and again, the Rambam, right? So the 7 finger breaths, I'm sorry, not 7 tfachim high, right? Right, 7 finger, 7, sorry, that would be pretty big. Right, seven finger breaths in height. So again, the Rambam then goes on and shows how those dimensions work with the Shulchan as well. Again, not our topic for now, but just know, bottom line, we paskin, at least the Rambam paskins, kimin teva prutza, like the open box, like the U. Good, says the Mishnah. Okay, we'll say, let's go back there. So let's listen to this. Still continuing on the topic of lechem aponim and shtei alechem. So whether the shtei alechem or lechem aponim, lishasan v'arichasan b'chutz. I will say, you are permitted to go ahead and knead the dough and arrange the dough. Arichasan means to arrange the dough, b'chutz. Which I will say, sounds like what? This could be done. The kneading of the dough and the arranging or the shaping of the dough can be done outside of the Beis HaMikdash. V'afiyosan bifnim. But the baking itself must be done inside of the Beis HaMikdash. V'inon dochos es ha-shabbos. And I will say, the making of the lechem aponim, as well as of the shtei alechem, is not docha shabbos. So we have to discuss ultimately what that means as well. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the entire process of making the lechem aponim as well as the shtei alechem has to be done inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Olam HaBerag Yolomer, Rabbi Shimon says, a person should always be accustomed to say, shtei alechem v'lechem aponim k'sheros ba'azoro u'k'sheros be'beis pagi. Rabbi Shimon says, a person should always be accustomed to say that making of the lechem aponim and the shtei alechem is kosher if you do it in the azara, inside the Beis HaMikdash, and it's also kosher if you do it in Beis Pagi. People say, what's Beis Pagi? Look at Rashi in the Mishnah. Who shares with Beis Pagi? Bechol Yerushalayim. Beis Pagi, people say, is a reference to all of Jerusalem. So Rabbi Shimon says, people say, that you can make lechem aponim and shtei alechem inside the Beis HaMikdash, or you can go ahead and make it and even bake it in Yerushalayim as well. So fundamental machlokes. So Yimar says, Hagufa Kasha. Yimar says, you are posing an inherent contradiction. How so? Amrit lishasan varichasan b'chutz. The Mishnah begins by telling me that I could knead the dough and shape the dough, arrange the dough, even out for lechem aparim and shtei alechem, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Alma midas yavesh lo niskatsha. So we'll say, now what that sounds like is as follows. Remember, in order to go ahead and get to the point that I'm kneading the dough and shaping the dough, I have to what? I have to measure out the flour. And nisaron to be exact. What this must be telling me, Abba say, is that the measuring utensil is not Kodesh. The measuring utensil that measures out the flour must not be a Kli Sharis. Because if the measuring utensil was a Kli Sharis, then what? Then what? Then the flour would be Kadosh. If the flour is Kadosh, then what? Then it could only be manipulated, or it could only be worked inside of the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that you're telling me that I can knead and shape the dough outside of the Beis HaMikdash tells me that the utensil used to measure the flour, we call the midas yavesh, the dry measure, lo niskatsha, ultimately, again, it's not consecrated. Vafiyasan bifnim. And furthermore, you're telling me, but it has to be baked inside of the base of Mikdash. Alma midas yavis niskacha. So what that sounds like over here is that what? The midas yavish, in this case, this is a reference to the oven. The oven is kadosh. So we'll say, so what sounds like you're telling me over here is that the measure, the dry measure for Yisaron, is not kadosh, but the oven is kadosh. Amar Rabba, so Rabba said, Hiksha Adam Kasha Shukasha Kabarzal. A very, you know, a strong-headed man asked a strong question that is as strong as iron. Umanu and Rabba say, who is this strong man who asks strong questions? Umanu Rav Sheshas. And who is this Rav Sheshas? We'll look at Rashi. Adam Kasha, Chacham Umechudad Lachtol Chalocha Kibarzel. So a strong man who knows how to cut to the core of the issue, like iron, asked a strong question of Sheshas. So the Gemara says, my Kasha, so what's the question? Dilma, Yisaron Lamekadesh, Tamar Mekadesh. And Rabba say, yeah, maybe that's Talacha. Maybe the Yisaron, the dry measure, to measure out the flour, is not considered to be a kli sharis, and therefore again it's not mekadesh the flour, and the oven is rabosei a kli sharis, and therefore isn't mekadesh the loaf. And so I mean, the question almost presupposes that the utensil used to measure the flour and the oven used to bake the lechem upon the lechem has to have the same status. To which the Gemara says, how do you know that? Maybe, again, the utensil used to measure the flour is not a kli sharis. The oven is. And why does that pose a kasha? El v'ikasha hakasha. Rather, if you have a question, here's the question you have to ask. Vaf yasan bifnim. The Mishnah said that we bake lechem upon shtei lechem inside the Beis HaMikdash. Alma tanur mekadesh. So we'll say, so therefore, again, you see that it is the baking in the oven that sanctifies the loaf. Ve'in dochos es ha-shabbos. And ultimately, again, the Mishnah then said that the baking is not docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if salah belino. So we'll say, the problem with that is, and is then what? Is that ultimately, again, it will become puzzle with lina. Now look at Rashi's one, it's actually very interesting. So if salah belino, the chol ha-menachos mishin is kachu beklin if salim, v'hai kevan de'ektish me'esmol betanur, if salah belino kodim shi'isajar ha-shuchas. So we'll say, we have a problem. If you're telling me that the oven is mekadesh the loaves. Okay, when you bake the oven, when you bake the loaves, the oven is the klisharis, and baking the loaf makes it kadosh. Here's the problem. And you're also telling me that you can't bake the loaves on Shabbos. Baking is not docha Shabbos. So I say, what am I baking? What am I baking? Friday. See, here's the problem. If I'm baking Friday, and the loaves become kadosh as a result of being baked in the oven, then what Rabbi say? Comes Shabbos morning, when I'm supposed to put the loaves on the shulchan, what's going to happen? The loaves are pasul. Why are they pasul, Rabbi say? Because it's called, because lina. Lina means, Rabbi say, any time you leave something sacrificially sanctified overnight, it becomes pasul. So again, see how everything's kind of coming together over here. If it's the oven that's mekadesh the loaf, and the baking of the loaves is not docha Shabbos. We know the loaves are put on the shulchan on Shabbos. That we know. The Torah tells us that. That means I'm going to have to bake the loaves on Friday. They're going to be baked on Friday, sit overnight. Once they sit overnight, that's the psul of lina. If it's the psul of lina, then ultimately, again, the loaves are not fit for use. To which the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rava, Stefa Rava said, Hek Shadam Kasha, Shukasha Kabazman Rav Sheshas. So I say, so ultimately, again, good kasha posed by a man who is a hard head, right? And he asked a hard kasha. So the Gemara says, Amar Adashi, my kusha, I don't understand, what's the question? Dilma, my mimifnim. So I'll say, what is it, perhaps when the Mishnah said that you have to go ahead and bake the bread bifnim inside the Beis HaMikdash, or you should say inside, maybe inside doesn't mean inside the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, b'makom's reason. Rather, I will say, maybe what it means is, you have to go ahead and have it baked by b'makom's reason, in the place of people who are very diligent. In other words, mi bifnim, I will say, means anything done bifnim is done by the kohanim. Anything done by the kohanim is done with a certain level of diligence. So maybe what it means is you have to bake the loaves like you are baking them inside. Namely, this should be done in the presence of, the baking should be done either by kohanim, in the presence of kohanim, who will serve like the mashkichim, who will oversee the process with incredible diligence. But lav dafka, that it has to be made inside the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it could even be made outside. And I will say, if it could be made outside, that would be wonderful. Why? Because then I can make it on Friday. I can make it on Friday. And because it's not sanctified, therefore what? it doesn't become possible with lina. I could bring it to the Beis HaMikdash then on Shabbos, or I could bring it to the Beis HaMikdash on Friday, it doesn't make a difference, and place it on the Shulchan and sanctify it through placing it on the Shulchan on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi's ultimate, his statement is mistaken. Manavshach, because I'll tell you why. Because if you want to say the baking requires the presence of Zrizin, people who are Zoriz, Lisha Va'aricha, Nami Ba'inan Zrizin, then ultimately again the kneading and the arranging of the dosh also requires Zrizin. V'ilisha Va'aricha lo Ba'inan Zrizin. It was if at the end of the day, Lisha and Aricha do not require the presence of Kohanim, Afia Nami lo Ba'inan Zrizin, then the baking should also not require any kind of Zrizin. Therefore, what Ela Rav Ashi Berusi? Rather, what you have to say is that the statement of Rav Ashi ultimately is going to be mistaken. Fine. It says the Gemara. Rabbi Hudomer. So we're still not exactly sure as to what is happening over here. So remember, again, we know that we have a little bit of a problem. And our problem is, if you tell me that it is the tanur, if you tell me that it is the baking in the oven, that ultimately goes ahead and creates the Kedusha, then ultimately, again, how do I avoid the problem of lina? Right? If I'm baking, and you tell me it's not Toch HaShabbos, I have to bake it on Friday, it's going to sit overnight and not be placed on the Shulchan till the next day, how do I avoid the issue of lina? So hold on, we're not finished yet. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Ma'aseim Bifnim. So what's Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Halacha Lamaisa, I'm trying to, I should do this now. Okay, well, fine. Let's do the Gemara first. So Rabbi Yehuda says everything about Lechem Aponim was done on the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Avo Bar Kahana, Ushtem Mikra Echad Darsha. So we'll say, so understand what's happening over here. You've got the Tanakhama saying that when it comes to the Shtei HaLechem and the Lechem Aponim, the kneading and the arranging of the dough was done outside, the baking was done inside. Rabbi Yehuda says everything is done inside. And Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, a person should always become accustomed to saying, Shtei Lechem and Lechem Aponim are kosher in the Azara and kosher bebeis Pagi. Since Rabbi Shimon says, you can do Lechem Aponim and Shtei Lechem wherever you want. So watch this. So I'm Rabbi Avo Bar Kahana. Shnei Mikra Echad Darsha. We'll say, both sides of this machlokes are darshaning the same pasuk. What are they darshaning? V'hu derech chol. So let's listen to this. So the pasuk over here that they're quoting is as follows. We'll say this, when David HaMelech is on the run from Shaul, so he goes to the city of Nov. In the city of Nov, he asks them for bread. They tell David, now remember, the city of Nov has no idea that David is a fugitive from the king. They just think David tells him that he's on a secret mission from Shaul, and they buy it. So we'll say what they tell him is, you have a problem. We have no bread to give you. Why? Because the only bread we have in the city of Nov, which was the city of Kohanim, was Lechem Aponim. So David HaMelech makes an interesting statement. V'hu derech chol, this is in the manner of chol, af ki hayom yikdash bekeli, even though today it is sanctified in a utensil. So what does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda says, here's the story. Bachol ashkechinu dika afilei. David HaMelech came to the city of Nov on a weekday, and he found them on the weekday baking the lechem aponim. Amar lo derechol kafisulei. Are you baking it again on a regular weekday? Af ki hayom yikdash bekeli if salei belina. So David HaMelech says, how can you bake the lechem aponim ultimately on a weekday, knowing that what? Knowing that ultimately, again, it becomes kadosh through the act of baking, you're not going to put it on the shulchan until tomorrow. And I will say, therefore, David HaMelech tells him, it's going to be possible lina. Once the bread becomes sanctified, either again, through some type of klisharis or through the oven, then I will say, it can't sit overnight in an unconsecrated state. So if you're making it on a Friday, not putting it on the shulchan until Shabbos, does it not become possible lina? Rabbi Shimon says, B'Shabbos Ashkechinu. No, David HaMelech came to the city of Nov on a Shabbos, and he found them on Shabbos too. That what? Zika afule, that they were baking the bread on Shabbos itself. Amar lehu. And he says to them, Lo, Amar lehu, Lo derachol ba'isa le'me'avde. Should you not have gone ahead and done this during the week? Mi de tanur mekadesh. Shulchan Aruch Mekadesh. The Aruch Melech says it is not the baking in the oven which consecrates the loaf, but rather what? It's the arrangement of the shulch on the shulchan. So as I said, this is, by the way, so you understand, this by the way is exceptionally important because now we're actually getting to the thrust of the Machlokes. So we'll say, what's the tension over here? What's the tension? You see, we assume that if you hold that the lechem has to be baked inside the base, I make the Shavuot say that, what does that mean? That it's the oven that's mekadesh the bread. We're seeing, maybe not. Maybe even if you have an obligation, bless you, to go out and bake the bread inside the Beis HaMikdash, we'll say, it's not the oven that's mekadesh the loaf. What's mekadesh the loaf? It's the shulchan. It's the placement on the shulchan. I will say, if you go with that second approach, that's the placement on the shulchan, then what? Then even if you hold that the baking of the bread is not Toch HaShabbos, right, and therefore you're going to do it inside the Beis HaMikdash on Friday, the loaves do not become pasul belina over Friday night because they're not really kadosh, fully sanctified, until they're placed on the shulchan. So David HaMelech says, according to the second version, David HaMelech comes on Shabbos, they're baking on Shabbos. Now presumably, why are they baking on Shabbos? Because they felt we have no option. What's the other option? To bake on Friday. If you bake on Friday, what's going to happen? Because pasul belina. Tushal Melech says, no, you guys get it wrong. Does it become pasul belina if you bake it on Friday? Why? Because the loaves themselves do not become consecrated until they are placed on the shulchan. Is it possible to say that David HaMelech found the Kohanim of Nov while they were actually baking the bread? Ultimately, again, the pasuk sounds like David HaMelech came where there was already made lechem upon him. It doesn't like he was coming at the time of baking, but rather it sounds like what? He was coming at the time when the loaves were already arranged. This is what David HaMelech said. This is what they said to David. So David HaMelech comes to Nov, and what do they tell him in Nov? Sorry, David, we have no vachadik bread, right? We have no weekday bread. We have no chol bread. So rather, all we have is lechem upon him. Amr lahu, lo mi boy hay de khayvad ne nafak le me ila dar kholhu. Ela afilu hech nami da yom yiktash bekli. Havuli. So ultimately, David HaMelech says, listen, I understand you have no weekday bread, so to speak, no regular bread, but even if this bread was actively sanctified, you can still give it to me. Havuli delechol, why? Top, we'll say top of tzadik vav, misukanhu. Ultimately, again, David HaMelech says, because I am in a state of sakhanas, pikuach nefesh, I have nothing to eat. There is nothing for me to eat. Because there is nothing for me to eat, therefore what? You are permitted to go ahead and give it to you. Rashi says, Mesukanu Sha'achzu Bulmus. Daramach literally again was sick. He actually was sick. He was on the verge of starvation and therefore again had the right to go ahead and ask them to eat of lechem upon him. Let's just finish up. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, b'Gemara Pligi. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon are arguing about say in the Gemara. Their machlokas about say is in the Mesora. Dekanami diktani b'Shimon Omer liolam havei ragil shtei alechem v'lechem apanim ksheros ba'azara u'ksheros abeis pagi. Shimon Rabbi. So the fact that Rabbi Shimon says a person should always become habituated to say you can bake the lechem upon him or you can make the lechem upon him inside the Beis Hamikdash, inside Yerushalayim. Whenever you hear that lashon of a person should become accustomed to say, they're arguing on Mesora. Both say they have two different traditions about how the lechem hapanim was prepared. So fundamental machlokes, you have the Tanakhama saying that the kneading and arranging of the dough can be done outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Baking must be done inside the Beis Hamikdash. You have Rabbi Yehuda saying every part of lechem hapanim and lechem preparation has to be done inside of the Beis Hamikdash, and you have Rabbi Shimon telling us that what? You can go ahead and prepare lechem hapanim and lechem inside the Beis Hamikdash or outside the Beis Hamikdash. You could do whatever you want. Three way machlokes. So we'll say how we paskin, and Meretz Hashem will start to share with that tomorrow.